Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's Naturally Green at SaverLife.com, and it is a white February morning. Some very, very light snow out there. Rochester, I guess, not going to get as much as areas west and south of us. Lake effect is going to hit them harder, I think, but it is kind of pretty dusting of snow that we have so far. And I didn't get any reports of snowdrops in bloom. I went to look for a few spots where I've found them, or other people have found them and told me about them in past years, and didn't find any. One was a construction zone, so they don't know what happened to the snowdrops there. They may have just been disturbed, and you know, maybe they'll bloom next year, but didn't see any. So the only things that were blooming that I found were some weeds in Highland Park before the cold returned here. And there are a bunch of dandelions blooming in January. You know, I probably saw between my neighborhood and Highland Park and a couple other areas, Genesee Valley Park, probably a couple dozen dandelions blooming, and some other weeds, wintercress, and even a couple other weeds, but no snowdrops yet. If you did see some, email me, let me know. Be fun to know. And when you see them in February, we will, I expect, at some point see them. Send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. And one of our listeners is headed down to, I think she's going to a state park south of the Finger Lakes, southwest of the Finger Lakes maybe, to do some winter camping. That's a way to make winter feel shorter, is go out and do something in it. Take a hike. Go bird watching, explore our parks, maybe do some skiing, maybe try snowboarding, maybe experiment with cross-country skiing. Right now, we actually have a decent base for cross-country skiing with snow that is now, it was kind of melted even yesterday and the day before, but now is frozen into a nice base for skiing. Get out and enjoy it. I drove up to Seneca Park yesterday, and the pond there at Seneca Park was almost all frozen except for one small area where there were probably 100 ducks, a couple swans, a couple geese that were all congregated in that open area. And then also took a hike at Turning Point Park earlier this week, and it's just a stunning boardwalk at Turning Point. And there were these paw prints out there on the ice, which could have been someone's dog, hopefully not, because you really don't want to let your dogs out on the ice, but most likely a coyote, just guessing by the size of the paw prints. You know, not as small as a fox. It seemed more like a potential coyote. And they sort of meandered around the ice and under the boardwalk. And then there were lots of them over in a small open area where there were ducks. And so my guess is the coyote thought that duck would make a nice dinner. Don't know what the coyote did when it got to the edge of the ice. Pretty sure the ducks stayed in the water. But there were lots of paw prints around that area of open ice. The back and forth of nature, and as you spend more time outside, you will notice more things. And most of the people walking across that boardwalk probably didn't notice the paw prints. Maybe didn't even notice the ducks. But go a little slower at some points and look for some of the details. And you can find some great guides to paw prints and sort of marks in the snow that animals leave, so that you can tell whether that was a rabbit or a squirrel that hopped through your yard, or maybe a cat, or perhaps if you're in an area where there are raccoons, which are pretty much everywhere, or possum, or all kinds of various animals. I was also in Ellison Park a while ago, and it was during the ground was somewhat thawed in areas, and then you can pick up more clear prints in those areas. I remember as a kid, we maybe it was part of Cub Scouts, but we made plaster casts of the paw prints, animal prints that we found. And that's something you can create pretty easily. And really, again, you start looking at these details, and then you start looking down at those paw prints, and you realize there were a couple birds that were on the ice too at some point, leaving tracks. So it's becoming more observant and becoming more mindful of what's around us, noticing more of the birds. There were some squirrels that were probably 5 squirrels in this huge black walnut tree not far from our backyard, and they were just racing around this morning. It really looked like they were playing tag. Didn't look like it was, a life or death game. It just looked like they were having fun up in this massive black walnut tree. And again, those kinds of things, at least for me, are a way to get through a cold, rather dark winter. It was fun to see the sun a couple days ago, and the sun is getting higher in the sky. We had a listener a long time ago, I think he moved to Florida, who was blind but loved to garden, and he was really, his senses perhaps were just also more attuned to the sun and the heat of the sun on his skin, and he would update me regularly, especially this time of the year, that we are closing in on 2 months after the shortest day of the year, and it's sort of the equivalent of early mid-October in terms of where the sun is in the sky. And over the next few weeks, next month, it really starts to change rather drastic. It feels, at least to me, rather drastic in how much stronger the sun is, how much faster the snow melts and the snow and ice, and really kind of how much my office heats up more than it did for basically November, December, and January. My office is up on our third floor in the attic, a finished room in the attic, and it faces south. A couple windows face south, and there's no heat up here. I heat rises through the house, so it's heated somewhat that way. But I use a space heater when I'm in my office, and I didn't need it on these couple of sunny days that we had. It warmed my office beautifully, and again, that's you know that the sun is getting stronger. And the sap is going to be moving in the trees soon for maple syrup. It is a lot of cool things going on. And the first flower show of the season has begun. This is the Dutch Connection at the George Eastman Museum. They have a new entrance pavilion. It's going to be exciting for you to go see their show. They, of course, masks are mandatory. Social distancing is key to keeping people safe still. And you should perhaps, weekends probably are going to be busier than weekdays at the George Eastman Museum until closed on Mondays. But, Tuesday through Friday, if you're worried about crowds, go early or go toward the end of the day. But weekdays in general are not super busy for, at least when I've been, the George Eastman Museum. So I would encourage you to go several times to see this, maybe become a member so then it's free and you can go a couple times a week. And just smelling the flowers alone is worth the price of admission, much less just hundreds of pots of blooming tulips and daffodils and hyacinths and freesias and lots of other things. It's quite a show, and especially exciting because the renovations are pretty much done. Last year they opened the Dutch Connection, they opened the George Eastman Museum kind of mid-construction only for the Dutch Connection and then shut down to continue the renovation. So it's got to be exciting for them to have it pretty much done. And again, huge difference, I think, for visitors and their experience in going to the George Eastman Museum. So the Dutch Connection is up for a couple of weeks, I think basically through the end of February, and they do change out the flowers once during this show. So basically, they change it out a couple of times, and you can enjoy really stunning flowers. It's a great time to go and see it. And the reason to go several times partly is that some of the flowers will be are still getting ready to open. It's a huge challenge to get them to open all at once. And so they do a great job with it. Tom and Susan Palamaki are still involved in forcing the bulbs, but still, there are some that are not quite in bloom. There's some that will probably fade a little bit before they change them out. I think you probably have to look pretty closely to see that. Most people that go will just be blown away by the scale of the floral exhibition. So again, this is based on what George Eastman's orders to Holland, and the forcing of bulbs and things that he did. He would force them all winter, and so he'd have fresh flowers in the mansion, but the Eastman Museum puts them all together for this big show here in mid-February. And also the Open Face Cafe at the Eastman Museum is open. They have redone the cafe, and the people that had Open Face Sandwich on South Avenue are running the new cafe at the Eastman Museum. And they have some cool exhibitions that are up for you to see beyond, the flowers are one of my one of the highlights for me, but they also have some great photography and film exhibitions going on now. So Eastman Museum, it's eastman.org for more details. Get over and see the Dutch Connection. It's really an amazing show, and they put a ton of work into it. They have lots of volunteers that help with it, and they have bulbs that have been forced, but not quite in bloom yet, that you can buy to bring home. And with the cold weather that we have, I would put them in a plastic bag or something, protect them as you're taking them outside. They're tough, but when they're used to greenhouse temperatures and then suddenly, they go outside and it's 18 degrees, then they'll probably be all right going to your car, but give them some protection if you can. That's more important if you're buying cut flowers for Valentine's Day or just a bouquet for someone to brighten their day. Give those flowers some protection, because it's some pretty severe cold over the next couple weeks, and you might be fine walking out between the store and your car, but those tender and often tropical flowers might not be so happy about it. And then again, if you leave them in your car while you're doing other errands, that's that's a whole nother issue. The cars will cool off quickly. So be careful with Valentine's Day and other flowers right now. I generally don't worry about it, but when it gets into the teens, then I become more careful. You just need a layer, like a layer of plastic or something around them to keep in reasonable temperatures. So let me know what you think of the Dutch Connection. It's the first flower show of the season, and it may well be one of the only flower shows of the season. I'm not sure what's happening with our flower show in March or the Philadelphia flower show. A lot depends on the course of the pandemic. So we'll have more information in the near future. But this flower show is open, and I hope you can get over there. If you have family and friends that live in the region, invite them to come in and see it. It's really a phenomenal show. The Philadelphia Flower Show has moved its time to mainly because of the pandemic, but also this is going to be I think it's a brilliant idea. Take a little of the uncertainty. Well, there's not that much uncertainty. There's still going to be a lot of coronavirus around in March when the Philadelphia Flower Show normally is held. It's been held for about 200 years. Started out as a rose show, and they are moving it outdoors for the first time and moving it to June. So it's going to be June 5th through the 12th in FDR Park in Philadelphia. First time, they may have done some of the very early ones outdoors. It's the first time that I know of that they're, in probably a 100 years that they're doing it outside. So the Philadelphia Flower Show will be in June, and the pandemic will not be over by then, but this puts them outdoors, which is helpful. And by June, far more people will have been vaccinated. We'll be in a much better place in June than we will be in March. So a brilliant idea, I think, to move it outdoors and move it to June. The theme is habitat, nature's masterpiece. And if you go to the Philadelphia Flower Show in June, I would absolutely go to see some of the Brandywine River sites, Longwood Gardens, Chanticleer, Nemours, Winter Tour. You should try and go, and Brandywine River Museum. You should try to go see all of those and combine your trip. Again, these are largely outdoor locations. Winter Tour has huge indoor rooms with antiques. It's like 200 rooms in Winter Tour, but most of these places really emphasize the outdoors. And again, the Philadelphia Flower Show will be outdoors for 2021. If you have comments, questions, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. Heard from a couple of listeners who've ordered seeds and said that this was just a vote of optimism to order seeds and then look forward to their arrival in a week or two. You can order them from Fruition Seeds, which is in Naples. There are some other really good seed companies out there. RareSeeds.com is one that I've had fun ordering from for quite a few years. One of our listeners gave me it's called Pine Tree Garden Seeds and Accessories, their catalog. So that's Pine Tree. There's High Mowing. There's Johnny's. There's the Hudson Valley Seed Library, which is kind of a fun story because this is a seed company that started in a library. One of the librarians decided that it would be fun to check out seeds, literally, and so encouraged customers to to donate seeds, but also to check them out and plant them, and then maybe bring some back for the next season, sort of to return the seeds in a sense. And it turned into a business. All kinds of cool seed companies out there. Again, Fruition Seeds is right in Naples and close by, but mail order only right now. So have fun looking through the seeds. You can spend hours looking through the varieties and reading about them right now. Order some to start indoors, order some to plant outdoors, order some to give away. It kind of reminds me of this children's book called Miss Rumphius. It's Rumphius, Miss Rumphius. About a woman whose grandfather, well, when she's a child, tells her she should make the world more beautiful, and it's again a short children's book, but in the end, she decides as an older adult. That she would plant lupin seeds everywhere. And so she carries them in her pockets and I think it's set up in Maine, tosses them wherever she sees some bare ground, and lupins start blooming all over. My description does not do justice to the story. Some beautiful illustrations, and it's the kind of book that will inspire you to do more with seeds and think about where you could plant more flowers. Miss Rumphius is the title. The paperback is a couple dollars, I think. It's worth getting, even not that you need to read it to children. I think it's just a great book to have and maybe pass it on to someone. But there's this, just imbued with optimism, I guess, that fairly simple acts like, she was ordering lupin seeds by the bushel, I think, or something. I mean, lots and lots of lupin seeds. And, that's one of the beauties of seeds. Is that you can get a lot of plants because these seeds are so tiny. You can get lots and lots of plants from a couple of seed packets. And then you start saving your own seeds, you can get thousands of seeds if you start collecting them from some of the things that you grow in your garden. probably tens of hundreds of thousands of seeds. It's amazing. And we can make the world more colorful. So again, the illustrations are really stunning. Miss Rumphius. Enjoy the book, and we will be back with a food show, Discover the Finger Lakes, later this morning, and tomorrow, the grapevine here at SavorLife.com. Have a great day.